Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Patriots Cheerleader Chit Chat Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm joined by rookie cheerleader Lindsay Bloom today. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Lindsay and I are going to talk about how to cope with stereotypes of cheerleaders and how to break them. Lindsay has our key stretch for this week, don't you?
I do.
I'm excited.
I do.
And, of course, we're answering a question from a listener in need. So let's start it off with talking about some stereotypes of cheerleaders. I know we personally get a lot because we're the professional NFL cheerleaders.
Absolutely.
People think, you know, automatically blonde, kind of out
bimbo.
There. Yeah.
No, and you know what? It's a shame because it is a stereotype that I know cheerleaders, whether professional or collegiate or high school, whatever level, that type of stereotype is something that all cheerleaders will struggle with. And unfortunately, I don't really know a way to break it because people are always going to have those stereotypes. But you want everybody to know that all squads are made up of girls with all different types of hair color and skin color and religion and interests and hobbies
and education and backgrounds beyond.
Absolutely. And there's no one type that a better cheerleader than another. If you're blonde, it doesn't make you a better cheerleader than a brunette. It just is how good you are at performing. It's how
exactly.
good you are. It's your skill level. And I know that it's very frustrating for girls because, you know, they do struggle with the stereotype of, if they are blonde, for example, then, oh, they're just the typical dumb blonde cheerleader.
Right,
and
right.
The thing is the girls that do competitive sports or that are into sports that take such a large time commitment, such as cheerleading or dance, they actually are generally not more educated, but they have a better idea of how to manage their time.
Of course they do. They have to.
Exactly. And you can't be a dumb blonde or uneducated and do that. You have to struggle with school and doing the activity,
right.
as well as some people also have jobs.
Exactly. And they tend to be more driven. So that almost makes them strive those, you know, that honor roll or that dean's list, whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
They're generally more determined than the person who isn't involved in any extracurricular activities, whether it's in college, in high school, or professional, you know. Our squad is mixed of so many different types, all college graduates, if not currently attending a college.
Absolutely.
So we're definitely breaking the stereotypes as is. Another way you can do that is we do a lot of community service, and that's probably the last thing that people with those stereotypes would think that we would do. They probably think we're more vain or, you know, out for the money. But we volunteer our time for nothing and involved in community service beyond, you know, just cheering.
It is. And it's a lot of behind the scenes that a lot of the people don't see regards to professional cheerleaders in the NFL. Pretty much all squads, at least as far as I know, do that. And, you know, what viewers who watch football every week or, you know, fans that attend the game, what they see is us on the sidelines. And they don't realize that we do so much behind the scenes stuff, whether it's practicing however many hours a week to look good at a game and dedicating all that time and dedicating our time to the community, and whether
exactly.
it's going to children's wards at a hospital or even just going to a business function. And it's, you know, we just do so many different things that a lot of the people, unfortunately, aren't able to see, and so we still do get those stereotypes.
I think it's pretty much universal as far as the stereotypes. Like Lindsay was just saying, I mean, we have accountants, we have teachers, we have engineers, you
mm-hmm.
know?
We do. We have, honestly, the brightest girls on our squad, and fortunately, you can't not be bright to do this.
Right.
Because once you take that extra step to the professional level, your commitment and your time commitment has just taken a giant leap. And every single one of the girls on our squad, and I'm sure every other squad too, or at least 90% of them, they don't just do cheerleading. It's not their full-time job. It's a hobby. It's something
exactly.
It's something that they enjoy doing. It's something that they want to do. It takes so much that you, like you said before, Lori, you cannot not be driven in order to succeed in this. And you have to be an intelligent person in order to manage all of the time that it takes to do it.
Yes, definitely. And you know, if you're in high school or whatever, you have the stereotypes as well. How do you break them? You smile at them. You know that deep down you're more than just a cheerleader. And if you are a cheerleader and you love it, you should be proud of it.
Exactly.
Put your heart and soul into it.
And just exactly what you said, just kind of look at them and smile, because you know it's not true. And, you know, unfortunately in this world, everybody deals with stereotypes. You know, the football players at your high school team, they deal with, you know, or in college, they deal with the dumb jock stereotype.
Exactly.
The people that are members of the chess clubs deal with the fact that they're just nerdy and they don't know how to, you know, be social. And, you know, same with the people in, like, the science team. And
exactly.
It's every club has kind of that, you know, those cliques that just get those general stereotypes. You know, as years go by and we're in the 21st century, you know, I think that people are much more open-minded and they're seeing that that's not how it is. When you walk through a high school, you're not going to just see today the cheerleaders only friends with the cheerleaders and the football players only friends with the football players and, you know, the math club only friends with themselves. Everyone's much more, you know, just generally friends. Everyone's much more, you know, accepting and friendly than I think, you know, the stereotypes would show them to
be. Definitely. And that breaks the stereotypes right alone, right there.
Exactly.
That's great. And if you have any more questions on that, feel free to email us at today@patriots.com. Well, now we're going to move right along to our key stretch of the week, which Lindsay has for us. Let's hear it, Linz.
Okay, well, our key stretch of the week is going to be a quad stretch. It is a stretch that is good for all sports because your quad muscles are such a key muscle. It's just such a key muscle that you use in all sports, and you know, you really need to stretch those quads. So what you're going to do is you're going to sit in kind of a squat-like position, so you're going to be on the balls of your feet with your knees bent and your hands in front of you. And the way you're going to move into the quad stretch is you're going to move your feet kind of shoulder-width apart. You're going to put your arms behind you, so they're on your backside.
And almost as if you were going to do a back bend, but you're not going to arch your back.
Exactly.
And this is, I'm sorry not to interrupt you, but your quads are located on the very, like, corner of your thighs and at the top of your thighs. That right. Whole muscle right there.
Right between your knees and almost your hip.
Right. Sorry.
That's okay. Nope. So you're going to be in that position. You're going to be on your toes and you're going to be with your arms behind you. And what you're going to do is you're going to almost not turn your feet out, but they're going to kind of naturally go corner to corner. And you're going to press your knees down towards the ground. And as you get further towards the ground, you're going to start to feel that stretch right in that area that Lori was talking about, in between your knees and your hips, right along that front thigh area. And it's a great stretch to do because those are the muscles that can get really cramped, especially in dancing and cheerleading with kicks, turns, stunts, tumbling. It's really very important to stretch those muscles because they can get really cramped and it's easy to get injured that way. But just know that for different people, it's going to be different. And the further that you stretch down, you know, for some people, you're going to feel it, you know, a little bit sooner than others. So if you're sitting next to your friend doing it and she feels it, you know, and your other friend doesn't, that's okay. It's different for everybody else. Just make sure you're feeling that stretch right along in that area that we mentioned.
And you won't even realize that you pulled a quad until you pulled a quad.
And it's painful.
It's very painful. And you pretty much use it for everything, especially with dancing and leaps, you know, gymnastics a lot. You know, using during back tumbling, but if you stretch it, it feels so good. The minute you, when you first stretch your quads, it just feels like,
And it is. It's one of my, I know our squad does it every single practice, every single stretch. We make sure to do that stretch, and it is one of my favorite stretches.
Definitely.
Because it feels really good.
Very good. Thank you. And now we're going to help a listener in need. Today's is coming from Kristen in Londonderry, New Hampshire. Kristen writes, "Hi, Lori. It's finally October, and every year our squad does a Halloween-related halftime routine. We dress up and everything. We've already started to choreograph a performance, but we're having trouble with coming up with different costumes. Any suggestions? Thanks." I love this idea. I love the fact that, you know, they go with the theme of what's going on in the season. I think when I was in high school, homecoming was always around Halloween, and we did the same thing. Every homecoming routine was, you know, Halloween related.
It's always fun to incorporate you know, stuff with different holidays. You know, Christmas, wearing Santa hats.
Right, and sometimes cheerleaders don't necessarily think that they can do that because dancers tend to wear the costumes, cheerleaders wear the uniform. You know what I mean? But it doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to wear your uniform every single game.
Oh, no.
You wear a uniform, you go change. You come back, you put on your uniform.
Exactly.
School spirit. Anyways, when I was a senior in high school, we wore all black. And you could pick what kind of black pants you wanted and what kind of black shirt you wanted, as long as it was long sleeve. And obviously black sneakers. This way, everyone gets to wear exactly what fits their body, what they want. And all we did was paint our faces in, like, masquerade bright colors.
Oh, that was probably really cool.
It was awesome, and it was so easy. So no one was, oh, I don't have the money for this, or, you know, oh, hers is better than mine. Everybody was the same because we all painted each other's faces, so the more extravagant, the better. And everyone already had black pants. It was easy.
And it was something also that I'm sure conformed to, you know, cheering itself and wasn't constrictive.
Exactly.
And worked well with what you guys were doing.
Right. That's a problem, I think, with choosing a particular costume. I think you have to be more abstract like that. If everybody wears a, you know, French maid outfit, you know, there's only those are short and it's kind of hard to do the tumbling and the stuff with the ruffles, you know. So another good idea would be to dress up as crayons. That way everyone wears a different color outfit for a top and a bottom, whether it be green, purple, orange, whatever. You know, white sneakers, paint your face. Easy. Everyone can make their own t-shirts.
And it's a great visual.
Exactly.
It's a great visual.
It
and you still look like a team, but also being different.
Exactly. What else can they do? You could do the zombie cheerleader thing. That's pretty easy because you already have your uniforms on. It would just take some face painting.
That's
maybe
true.
Some hair teasing.
That's always fun. You can do the crazy, like, white painted face and the crazy scary eye makeup. And, like Laura said, do the hair tease. They can kind of stick with that theme of kind of being in the same, you know, uniform but doing different colors. So, and maybe if you want to do, like Laura's idea, either instead of all black, if you want to do all one of your team colors, if your team colors are, you know, for example, the Patriots, red, white, and blue, everyone wear either like a all red, all white, or all blue and mix it up and make sure there's a couple different girls with each of the colors.
Right.
And again, do something clever with, you know, the face paint. With cheering, you probably would want to stay away from, you know, hats or stuff that could easily fly off.
Unless you make sure they're secured on with an elastic.
And bobby pinned.
Right.
And bobby pinned to your hair. But that could also be a fun idea if you can find a hat or even do, I know something that's fun is kind of going back to a different era. Like something that's easy to do is going back to like the 80s. You know, you can do
something.
Scrunch
socks.
Yeah, exactly. Get the big scrunch socks. You know, that'll
leggings are out now.
Leggings are everywhere.
I used to wear leggings when I was like in sixth grade.
I just hope the stirrups don't come back.
Please no.
Because that I can't get back into. The leggings I love because they're so comfortable, but I really can't get back into the stirrup leggings with the big oversized sweaters.
But
I can't
do
that again.
Your halftime routine.
Absolutely. Throw in the side ponytail also.
Ponytails rock.
And the sweatbands, because you can't be 80s without the side ponytail and the sweatbands.
And the blue eyeshadow. Don't forget the blue eyeshadow.
Or either electric blue or that white glittery stuff. You can still buy it at like CVS under like the Wet n Wild.
The Wet n Wild hot pink lipstick. Don't forget that. That's mandatory.
Absolutely. You guys will look very, very cute in their 80s.
But as keeping with the eras, you know, you could do the 70s retro, you could do, you know, future, all silver.
A little robot.
Yeah, you never know. You could pretty much do anything as long as it's uniform together and pretty much form-fitting so that you can still perform your routine.
Absolutely, and that is something, you know, make sure that you are just thinking about your safety.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And Kristen just won a Patriots Chinese t-shirt. Let me show Lindsay really quick.
We are going
to China next year.
We are.
So the Patriots have a bunch of Chinese apparel and merchandise right now. There's a Chinese sticker right up there. So congratulations,
awesome.
Kristen.
You are the first. Congratulations, Kristen. That's an awesome t-shirt.
If you'd like us to answer one of your questions, and remember it can be about absolutely anything, as we said before, about boyfriends or whatnot, write into today@patriots.com. And speaking of boyfriends, as Lindsay and I are sitting here doing this podcast, I noticed this rock on her finger. What is going on?
It was an anniversary gift from my boyfriend.
That is not an anniversary gift.
No, before...
This is an engagement ring.
No, before Lori gets all crazy, because I already, at practice last night, Ashley already freaked out at me. My boyfriend, for our anniversary, gave me a ring that, yes, resembles very much an engagement ring, and it kind of is, kind of isn't. It's Swarovski crystal. It's not it's not real, but he said he's saving up to buy the...
ring.
Yes, so he's saving up to buy the real one, and he wanted me to have this one, and I warned him. I said, you know, everyone's going to ask me, and everyone's going to hound me, and everyone's going to think that we're engaged, and, you know, and he said, well, we are, because we're getting married, and I was like, okay. I don't know what to tell people, but yes, so he did get this for me. It's a beautiful ring, and yes, I would love it if my real one looked like this, because I love it.
It's gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
Promise rings work just fine.
Exactly.
So moving on to Lindsay. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about your figure skating background.
I started figure skating when I was about 6 years old, and I started off in the group lessons, and I got picked out by a guy to do pair skating. I started off doing pair skating, loved it, but quickly moved into freestyle, and I started competing, and it just snowballed from there.
Did you win anything?
I did. I won a national title.
Congratulations.
Thank you. In St. Louis, Missouri, when I was 15.
Do you miss it?
I do miss it, but it takes a lot out of you. It takes a toll on your body. It definitely did. I got a lot of injuries from it, unfortunately. But I do miss it, and it's something, you know, I like to do every once in a while. I still
have
to take all you girls out to the rink.
I know. Show me up, because I can't skate for the life of me. Show me up. Show me the graceful way to fall.
Oh, I will. Once I've mastered that.
Oh, but it's awesome that, because usually people come from a dance or a cheerleading background, you come from a figure skating background, and that's completely different.
It is.
Awesome.
And I, you know what, I do have a dance background too, which I got into because of figure skating, because of the artistic side of figure skating. It really helps to have that dance background, so that actually snowballed into why I got into dance, into ballet, and, you know, I loved it, and dance snowballed from there. So, you know, figure skating really gave me a lot of, you know, great opportunities and showed me a lot of different sides of activities that I love to do.
Good. And you like to cook. What's your favorite thing to cook?
I do love to cook. My favorite thing to cook, pasta, a specific pasta. I haven't actually cooked it in a while, but I love to cook pasta, usually rigatoni with pink vodka sauce, chicken, mushrooms, and peas.
I don't know. Gourmet.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I do love to cook that.
Good for you. I can cook sometimes. I can boil water.
That comes in handy. As long as you don't burn toast, because that's really bad when you burn toast.
I'm a good burner. I won't lie. Usually, that's how I can tell when things are cooked, is if it's burnt.
Well, I saw you make Easy Mac the other day, so I know you can do that.
Easy Mac's a snitch for me. You have, like, a ton of favorite musicians. If you could pick any of these, which one would it be?
My favorite of all time is Jimmy Buffett, and I get a lot of ridicule for that, and some people may not even know who he is, but I blame my father for it. I still, to this day, said he played Jimmy Buffett for me in my mom's womb. And
that's cute.
We go to his concerts. It was the first concert I've ever been to.
I did stick with it.
He has upbeat music, and it's fun to dance to. And
the classics, everybody knows them.
They are classics. Margaritaville.
Can't go wrong with Margaritaville.
Exactly.
And that is Lindsay Bloom for you. Hope you're enjoying your first year so far.
I am. I'm having a great time. Thanks,
Good.
Lori.
Great. So that's all for this time. Also coming this week is Patriots Cheerleader Chit Chat, a MySpace account. So if you have a MySpace account, add us as your friend. The URL is myspace.com/PatsCheerleaderChitChat. You can meet other listeners and talk all about cheerleading. It's under construction right now, but we are looking for friends and all that good stuff.
So make sure you go and add us.
Definitely. So thank you for joining us again, Lindsay.
Thank you, Lori.
That's all for today. We'll see you next week on the Patriots Cheerleader Chit Chat video podcast. Till then, I'll see you on the sidelines.